Our passage of Scripture this morning, which is found in Revelation chapter 21, and I'm reading verses 1 through the first part of 5. This is John's vision of a new heaven. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men and women," by the way, "and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Talking about something new, it does bring some fear to us, doesn't it? Something new language sometimes brings some worries to us because new means different, right? Now, sometimes, like you're getting ready to go shopping, new is exciting for you because you kind of know what you want and you want something fresh and new. But a lot of times, new, if I said, "I got something new for you," you may not be so excited about that, right? We say things like, "So what's wrong with the old way?" Or, "Just because it's new doesn't make it better." And of course we hear, "Take me back to the good old days where I knew what was going on." New means that we're going to have to deal with change. And as Baptists particularly, we tend to be resistant to change. As human beings, we tend to be resistant to change. As Mainers, you tend to be resistant to change. And so you've got a lot of things going against you. All right? We don't like change. We are comfortable with the old. We've been talking about furniture that we're going to take with us, okay? I've got this chair of mine. It is so comfortable. It fits me like a glove. Okay, so I was going to get there. The fact is that it's fallen apart. It looks, and we wouldn't want to take a microscope to it anyway, you know, to see what's actually in there. But the fact is, probably one of these days I'm going to sit down and it's going to fit me so well it's just going to cave in on me. But I like it. It's comfortable. I don't want to change that chair. I want to keep a hold of that and live in it and go ahead and be buried in it someday. Whatever. It's comfortable. We have that with other kinds of things, too. We've got our comfortable pairs of shoes. We have the comfortable things that we like. We don't want to get rid of the old because we're comfortable with the old. We don't want to get rid of our traditions because we're comfortable with those traditions. There are habits that we have that we're very comfortable with. There are attitudes that we hold on to that we may be really comfortable in those attitudes. When we're asked to consider something new, our comforts and our way of life and our way of thinking, all of these things are threatened. And the future seems a little bit uncertain and scary to us because of that. Think about Jesus. This is one of the reasons why people had such disagreement with Jesus. Because the way of life that he invited people to follow was new. It was different. It was against the status quo, against what the religious folks said was supposed to be the way it was. It was a new way of thinking. It was a new way of living. And people felt so threatened by that that they put Jesus to death. They were more comfortable with murder than they were with the new life that Jesus proclaimed and invited them to be part of. We began our series 30-some weeks ago looking at Genesis. And in Genesis, we read about how God created everything new. The heavens, the earth, plants, the animals, people. And now as we come to the end, we're reminded that God is going to create, is creating something new once again. Something that is perfected. Our journey through the Bible kind of brings us back around. And if you were in Sunday school class, we kind of had some discussion about that this morning. So I won't go back into it. But there's a new heaven and a new earth that God is creating. A place where we can live in perfect unity with God and with one another. This new heaven and a new earth is a place where there's no more sin. There's no more tears. There's no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. A place where God and people dwell together in intimate relationship. It's a place where there's perfect peace and joy and love. Perfect relationships all the way around. Where God illumines everything. There's not even need for sun. This is the future that we look forward to. This is our hope. This is the promise of God. Something that we can hold on to and look forward to and anticipate with joy and excitement and in our hearts. It's not a place to be feared by any means at all. And so we look forward to that. But I want to just point out that the writer of Revelation, John, was revealing Jesus and didn't just point out the distant future, but also wrote to bring hope to those who were believers 2,000 years ago and hope to us today, too. The book of Revelation is all about hope. And bringing hope to us. Because there are times when we face a lot of difficulties and we face a lot of darkness. But God is at work. And so we can have hope. Folks, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing in the future, yes, but God is doing a new thing now, too. God is at work in the hearts of women and men all around the world, changing lives, changing hearts and attitudes. God is doing that new thing. Maybe God is at work in your heart today. God is at work tearing down walls that divide people and cultures. God is at work restoring our relationships, not just with God, but with one another and even with all of creation. God is today opening the hearts of people everywhere to be transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. God is doing all of that. You see, God hasn't left this earth. God is working now and doing a new thing today. God is today using you and me to bring the kingdom of God to earth. That God's will would be lived out on earth as it is in heaven, just like we pray every week with the Lord's Prayer. God is doing something new. And it will be completed on that day sometime in the future. But God is at work right now. The kingdom of God is present. And so, God invites us to be participants in this new thing that is being done. This invitation to us is an invitation that's two-sided. Because first we have to let go of the old. We have to let go of our comfortable ways. We have to let go of our selfish behaviors and our limited imaginations and our narrow attitudes. We need to let go of the old. And we're reminded that part of that letting go is letting go of the sin that's in our own lives and grasping the new life that is offered to us through Jesus Christ. Life that is free from the curse of sin. And then God invites us then to embrace the new. To embrace the new, to grab a hold of things that God is doing, to first of all see where God is working, and to rush over to be part of that work. To sense where the Spirit of God is flowing, to jump in head first, to let the power of the Holy Spirit inundate us to notice where the needs are in this world and to reach out with Jesus' hands and feet through us. God is inviting us to grab a hold of this new thing that is being done. And folks, when we do, when we let go of the old and when we grab a hold of the new, whether it's letting go of the old things that are in our own lives and grabbing a hold of the new life and the salvation that God that is offered to us, or whether it's letting go of our old attitudes and our old things that divide us and grabbing a hold of Jesus Christ, who is the center of our faith that unites us all. When we let go of things and grab a hold of the new, we experience the blessing of being actively involved in the new thing that God is doing. You see? We can actually be part of this thing. And that's an amazing thing. Think about it. God is inviting you and me to be part of God's work here. I want you to think about, we think about that sometimes esoterically or, you know, in the big picture. But I'd like to narrow it down a little bit. Let's think about our little community here. Think about Bodenham. God is doing a new thing here in Bodenham. More and more people in our community are caring for each other and looking for ways to help one another. Now, they are demonstrating love for one another in ways that are not unique or that are not part of our normal way of being because we tend to be selfish people. And if you don't believe that this is evidence of God's work, you need to take another look at Jesus Christ and recognize that in Jesus we see the heart of God, and in the midst of that is lots of compassion and rebuilding and restoring relationships and helping and caring and healing. And that's what we're seeing happening here in our little community. Folks, God doesn't need something to be organized by a church for God to be present there. Okay? He doesn't need it to come from the Baptists or the Nazarenes. God is at work already. Even good things, every good thing that happens comes from the hand of God. Scripture tells us that clearly. And folks, since sometimes the organized church tends to resist change, God's going to do new things however God needs to, through any hearts that are receptive and open to those needs that are out there. So God is at work. God is doing new things, sometimes right directly from here, sometimes starting out there. And in the places where God is doing these new things, places like in the food bank, you know, or the senior center, or at the elementary school with teachers who are caring for needy children, or at the AA group, or through the heating fund and the town office that's happening, through the angel tree that happens on an annual basis, the giving of turkeys at Thanksgiving, and the list goes on and on. In these things where God is at work, there are opportunities for us to step in and be part of what God is doing to change and to bless lives. As followers of Jesus, folks, we should be the first to jump at the opportunities, to leave our comfort zones behind, and to join in where God's already at work. That's what we should be about. I want to encourage you to do so. We look forward to heaven, right? We anticipate that day when we will be in glory. But we can get a taste of heaven right now. It's not in its full completion by any means. But we can begin to experience heaven on earth now, where the will of God is being done right now. Do you want to glimpse heaven? Then open your eyes. See where God is at work and dive in. You will experience the blessings of God's presence. You will experience the blessings that we will know in heaven to a degree. God is doing a new thing all around us every day. And it may be terrifying to us to consider these things or to step in. It may be terrifying for us to make the necessary changes in our own lives. But there is nothing more heavenly than to be where God is. That is the definition of heaven. So will you let go of your old comfortable ways? Will you embrace the new things that God is doing all around you and wanting to do in and through you? If you do, expect to be blessed as you get a taste of your future glory in the absolute presence of God. Let's pray.